please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4. We've been in the book of Genesis for 3 or 4 weeks now, but by the time you get to the book of Genesis to the end, we find all the nation of Israel in Egypt. Then we find Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The people are wandering in the wilderness after they've left Egypt. And then in Joshua chapter 1, we begin to see that Moses has died. Joshua has been called to be the leader of the nation. Joshua chapter 2, Joshua tells the two spies that enter into the promised land to look around. They come back. And then in Joshua chapter 3, they're going to cross the river Jordan into the promised land. And Joshua chapter 4 tells about that, what took place, and how they set up a memorial. And so it's kind of fitting today as we look at Memorial Day and establishing some things there, how they did that in the past because of great service or great power or a great event. And so hopefully you'll get some mindsets about how we need to do the same thing in our life. So let me read to you out of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4, the first 9 verses. It says there, "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and direction and guidance, that calls us to be a living memorial that we may tell others of your goodness and your greatness to us. So, Lord, today I pray that you give me unction. I'd speak the word boldly with clarity in such a way that all could understand. And that by the time we leave here, we would live a life that would truly honor you. That we would set up a memorial. That we would live a life that would cause others to remember just who you are. So, Lord, today I pray that you would do mighty works in our life. Convict all of us, beginning with me. Thank you, Lord, again for these things that you've written in your word that may lead us in the right direction. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that when they're read, they will not come back void. We give you all the praise for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I've taken 3 or 4 trips, maybe 4 trips, I think, to Washington, D.C. And it's great to go to all of those memorials that recognize those men and women who have fallen in those wars and have given their life, that have paid the price for all of us that we may have great freedom. Those memorials mean much to us because we recognize the sacrifice and the service that those that died gave. I think about memorials, and then I go to the book of Joshua and recognize that Joshua was told to set up a memorial because of what God did in their life, and they were to remember. And likewise, I think today we still should set up memorials, not necessarily of stone in our lives, but of flesh and blood, that show others that God is real, that God is alive, and that God desires us to live for him. And so, having said that, how can we live for the Lord? How can we set up memorials in our own life? Joshua reminds us just how to do that. The first thing I'd like for you to see is there's the crossing of the barrier, the crossing of a barrier. And so we recognize when it comes to setting up memorials, there must be a great test that must be overcome. Somebody has rightly said, in order to have a testimony, you must first have a test. In order to win a battle, or in order to win the war, there must be a great battle. And so in crossing a barrier, notice this, there must be a trial. So notice this trial in Joshua 4:1. "And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, And so we recognize right off, as you look at Jordan, there was a river. Normally the river is not very big. It's maybe 50 or 60 yards across. I remember when we went to Israel, it was not in a great flood stage, just a small little river that many of us could easily swim. But if you go and understand the history, when the people of Israel got to the Jordan River, it was in the harvest stage, and it had been raining much, and so the river was greatly swollen. And so instead of being only 50 or 60 yards wide, it was now maybe 200 yards wide. And reminds us, in order to do what God says, there will be hardships and trials to overcome. We recognize these things are called obstacles. And even though that river represents an obstacle, we recognize that we also will face our own obstacles. Life is full of those. Sometimes some are small. Sometimes those are large as well. Sometimes we call them molehills, and sometimes we call them mountains. People get depressed because of the obstacles. They may be disease or financial crisis or mental impairments. But the obstacle reminds us of some things. One, that we cannot overcome by ourselves. We cannot overcome these barriers by ourselves. Secondly, it also reminds us there is a God that can help us and is willing to help us. And thirdly, that God is able to overcome every barrier in our life. Paul writes in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So when you go back to Joshua, this crossing will represent a great act that only a power of God could do. Overcoming this obstacle would be in the same league, you may say, as parting of the Red Sea. You may say, well, I think I could have swam 200 yards. You may have. But remember, thousands of people will be crossing this. And so without the parting of the river, without the drying up of the waters, they would not be able to cross at this time. And so we'll find it will take a mighty miracle. And so you may ask, well, I need that miracle in our life. We need to recognize first that there are obstacles that we must face. Some may not like obstacles like the Jordan they face, but notice this, they keep us humble. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And so I'm telling you, my friends, that nobody likes the obstacles, but sometimes the obstacles or the barriers humble us that we may recognize the true power of God. Secondly, these obstacles also encourage us to encourage others. They help us to empathize with those around us. As a pastor, sometimes I deal with people that have financial difficulties. Many come to the church and needing help for rent or for this or for that or for food or for different things. I look back in my own life. There was a time when I was a student going to Florida Baptist and with a wife and two little children, and I worked part-time at the church because I was going to school. My income was $12,000 a year. I was in the poorhouse, amen? I know how to empathize with those that have difficulties like that. Why did I go through those? I'm sure because I could empathize with those today. It also hones our testimony. And again, if there is no test, there is no testimony. And so we recognize that we will go through hardships in our life. These things should help us to recognize that God wants us to persevere. And so don't get discouraged when you have trials, when you have hardships, when you have obstacles. Don't let that cause you to go into a depression. Recognize that God is on his throne and we will overcome. For the trial leads to the second point, not just the trial, but the triumph. Notice again verse 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over. It was not like, well, some got over and some did not. The whole nation cleanly, securely passed over this great barrier in their life. Clean passed over. There were none that were left behind. So the thought was, how can you overcome these obstacles? How did they overcome these obstacles? Well, you need to back up to chapter 3 just a little bit and recognize there was something they did to overcome this obstacle in the river. One is they set their eyes upon the Lord. So I would say today, set your eyes upon the Lord. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. If you want to overcome an obstacle in your life, set your eyes on the Lord. I've already mentioned Paul saying that we can overcome by Christ's strength. If you will trust in Christ, if you will trust in his power, if you will set your eyes upon him, my friends, that is the first step in overcoming. It all starts with the Lord. It is the Lord that delivers, not us. We sing this song in years past. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundantly and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Set your eyes upon the Lord. Recognize him. Secondly, stay behind the Lord. Is there a space between you and the Lord so you can let the Lord lead? Joshua chapter 3 verse 4 says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near to it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. If you go back to Joshua 3, all Joshua's saying is keep your eyes on the ark, and then stay behind the ark, let the ark get ahead, let the ark lead you. The ark was the presence of God. And so I'm telling you today, if you want to overcome an obstacle, don't get ahead of the Lord. Don't run around him. Stay behind him. Let God lead you through that obstacle. In other words, don't do it your way. Do it the Lord's way. Don't get ahead of God. Joshua told the people, you have not passed this way before. In other words, don't get the cart before the horse. Recognize that God wants you to follow him. Thirdly, in this idea is step out in faith. Set your eyes upon the Lord. Stay behind the Lord. Step out in faith. They had to step into the river before the river would dry up. Joshua chapter 3 verse 15 says this. And as they that bear the ark were come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest. Joshua was told by God, take the ark, lead the people. When you get to the Jordan River, you must step into the river first. You must step in by faith, and then the waters will dry up. Can I tell you, in your life, God wants you to take a step of faith. Put your eyes on him. Stay behind him. But when God asks you to step out in faith, simply do that. Amen. The Lord is calling you today to step out. He wants you to trust him wherever that is. If you're going to build a testimony, it will start by God working and you stepping out in faith. And so let me ask you, what act of faithfulness is God urging you to do today? He wants you to simply step out, stand still, and see the power of God. Joshua chapter 3, verse 16 says this, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a great heap very far from the city Adam, which is beside Zaratan. And those that came down from the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over against Jericho. Can you see what God did? They stepped out. They didn't pull out buckets. They didn't pull out hoses. They didn't pull out anything to dry up the River Jordan. They simply stepped in by faith, and God did what God promised he would do. I wonder today, will you simply do the same thing? Will you simply step in to what God wants you to do and recognize that God will remove those barriers that you are facing? Have you tried to cross a barrier lately? Have you taken a step of faith? Have you let the Lord work in your life? I'm telling you, without crossing and accepting Christ, you will not do all you can do. So before I move on, let me ask you this. Do you have some issues today that you're dealing with? Some barriers? Do you have troubles and trials? Are you trusting in the Lord to overcome? He has promised us that he would work those things out for good. His word says so. That's the crossing of the barrier. But secondly, there's the construction of the memorial. Because of the miracle that Joshua wants the people to see and remember, he asked them to build a memorial out of stones so that others will remember that day. As the people passed into the waters dried up, he's going to give some commands to remove some stones to place in other places. So Joshua chapter 4 verse 2 says, and take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe. Verse 3 says, and command ye them, saying, take hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and lead them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Joshua gives the command to take up 12 guys. The 12 guys would pick up 12 stones and carry them and place them in a certain place. Not 12 pieces of wood, but 12 stones, which reminds us how permanent it would be. So notice how this took place. First, there's the preparation of the men, the preparation of the men in verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel. These were not the biggest guys or the strongest guys or the fastest guys or the smartest guys in the group. These men were
qualified because they were sanctified. They had prepared themselves to be used. They had been set apart for a cause. And by the way, we as the body of Christ have been done the same way. We've been set apart. We have been called to serve the Lord. And so we recognize that we need to be a people that are sanctified, ready to be useful for our Father above. Our testimony is built on being a people that are worthy of the testimony. And so we need to be a prepared people that love the Lord and love others, that live an honest life, as I'll get to in a few minutes, that live a righteous life. So he gets prepared men. But secondly, there's a placement of the stones, the placement of the stones. Here's what you're going to see. You're going to find two groups of stones that are going to be placed. First, you may not recognize this, but there's going to be some unseen stones, some unseen places. Verse 9 says, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan." Joshua, not the 12, but Joshua himself is going to lay a memorial, not on the place of Gilgal or outside the river, but inside the river. As the waters will recede, that memorial will be covered back up. It will not be seen until the waters drop again. And so this marker, not necessarily seen for others, but it needs to be seen in ourselves and our closest family. What kind of memorial are we building? What kind of marker are we setting down? Well, there's the marker of salvation. We need to make sure that we are truly saved, that we understand that we have that marker in our life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let me just tell you, you're not going to have a great testimony for Christ if you're not one of His. If you've never come to faith in Christ, if you've never trusted His grace, if you've never simply allowed Him to save you, why not today? Let that be a marker of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible clearly says that's how that is established. By grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. We recognize God saves. Secondly, there needs to be the markers of miracles and wonders in your life. If God's ever done anything, write that down. Mark that down. Have that thing in your life. Remember what God has done for you. I can testify time and time again of the things I've been through and how God has delivered in my life. And many of you can do the same thing. Markers of miracles and wonders of your life. I may have a little advantage on you because I see a lot of sick people in a lot of places. And I recognize there's when people call in the family for people and say, there's no hope. I'm telling you, there's one that does give hope, the Lord Jesus. There's some people going to church today that the doctors had called in and said, hey, bring in the family. There is no hope, but they are here today by the power of God. Amen. There's a marker in our life. One of them sitting right back there in the back. Amen. There's a marker of answered prayers in our life. Has there ever been a time that you said, Lord, I need this. I'm in desperate need. Lord, help me. And the Lord did. Mark it down. It needs to be an unseen marker in your soul that God answered prayers in your life. Markers of devotion. Have you truly grown in the Lord? Markers of rededication. Have a time that you rededicated your life? Markers of growth in your life. Markers of encouragement. I think I've shared this before. In my Bible, I keep little notes sometimes. I have children or adults come up to me at times in my life and have given me a little encouraging note. You may not think that's much, but it is to me. And there's times in my life when I'm just flipping through my Bible and I find that little note that encourages me so much. There's an unseen marker to all of us in one sense, but when it's opened, I see it, and it does bring great encouragement. So I wonder, do you have those little markers in your life? The unseen markers to many of us, but to you, you know that God is real and working. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." There needs to be that marker that says, I am His. And so Joshua is going to set up those 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. They're going to be covered and unseen. But now notice the scene markers. Verse 8 of Joshua 4 says, "And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." If you read verse 20, it says, "And the 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." Now, Gilgal means a rolling away. Joshua chapter 5 reminds us why it's called that. Joshua, pointing back to those stones, says this in Joshua 5:9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach. Let me read that again. This day have I rolled away, Gilgal, the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. They laid down a marker that said, no longer are we a servant of Egypt. No longer are we in bondage. No longer are we bound down. No longer are we part of that culture. We are now the culture of God. There are stones in our life that we should be laying down ourselves. Stones that build a memorial around who we are as the child of God. There should be the markers of prayer, the markers of perseverance, the markers of kindness, the markers of service, the markers of faithfulness that other people see in our life that says, yes, the reproach of the Egyptians, the reproach of sin, the reproach of wickedness has been rolled away. They are now living a life for Christ Jesus. Markers that need to be seen. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Seen in your career, seen in the church house. It's a shame today to hear about churches not loving as they should. Seen in your own house about how Christ is Lord of all. You will set down stones to show the world the Lord has done something in your life, hopefully. Are you leaving a memorial today? We like that little statement. What you do speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. Let me say that again. What you do speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. And when I'm speaking about laying down markers or memorial, those are actions. We may talk a good talk about Christianity. We may talk a good talk. But do people hear our life by our actions? H-E-A-R. Kind of get off the track for a second. H means an honest life before the Lord and man. Integrity is key in the life of the Christian. Do your words line up with your deeds? We're living in a time when Christian leaders are falling into immorality and so many other issues due to a lack of integrity and character. Shame on all of us when we live like that. We recognize that we need to live for Him in an honest life. E is for encouragement. We need to encourage others. I mentioned about people encouraging me. How often do we encourage those around us? You're going to leave here maybe and go to a restaurant where you encourage the waiter. So many times we get aggravated because of what they do. We're going to encourage others by the things we say and do. I wonder, will we be as we should? Will we encourage? Will we make a difference in the lives of others because of our Christian ethics and attitude? A is for attitude. Now let me say this, nobody's always up, nobody's always cheerful, nobody can always be on cloud nine, but I'm telling you, when you stand on the rock of ages, how good that is. You should be this attitude of cheerfulness or love and focus on the Lord. Think about others that have made you feel good. Think about the others that had great attitudes. Lastly is R. R is that respect for others. Respect our parents, respect our spouse, respect others. Respect even those that you may not agree with. Respect opens the door to a relationship that you can share the Lord Jesus. Disrespect closes the door and the possibility of helping others when it comes to their spiritual life. Are you living a life that is building a memorial for others to remember what the Lord has done in your life? Well, here's the third thing I want you to see. Not just the crossing of the barrier, not just this construction of a memorial, but the continuation of a testimony, a continuation of a testimony. Verse 21, Joshua 4 says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? And then he's going to give them an answer. I'm reminded that we're going to live our life, and God has called us to live our life. But it's just not about us. God's called us to live a life of testimony that goes far beyond just me and you. It's a testimony for family first. A testimony for family. Again, verse 21 says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask. I'm reminded how important it is for the next generation to hear it about God, to hear it about the Word of God. What one generation accepts, the next one clings to. And I think we see that in our society. We've accepted and tolerated so many different things, and now the next generation thinks they're fine. But the Bible tells us to live a different life, to honor God. He tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. We're called to train up a child. The psalmist said in Psalm 78:5, for he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. So let me encourage you to recognize that we are called to live a life that calls our children to know who Christ is. Verse 22 says, Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Verse 23 says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did on the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over. And so we recognize that the next generation will see things in our life and ask why. Sooner or later, they will recognize your life either for God or against God. Sooner or later, they will recognize that your life is living for the Lord or not. Sooner or later, they will notice. And so what does your life say about what you believe, what you do, what you give, what you support, what you say to others, what you drink, how you deal with others? Your life is making a memorial that your kids will recognize. And so to our kids, we must share the Word of God. We must live out the Word of God. They must see the importance of the Lord's life, the Lord in our life. And we must show them the importance day by day of what God has done. I'm thankful that you're here today. I think your being present shows a respect into the Lord's house. And so we must honor Him and live for Him that others may see, especially our families. But not just a testimony for our family, but a testimony for foreigners, a testimony for foreigners. He says in verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. That all the people, not only are we called to influence our foreign no more, but our influence should go beyond our families, beyond our churches, beyond our community, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Our influence will do much. God's goodness must not be contained, but told everyone. I like what Jesus said, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the world. Amen. How good it is to recognize that when we do what God said, when we teach our children, when we stay faithful, others will see and notice. And it will make a difference in their lives as well. Again, I'm reminded of Washington, D.C. and all the things there. It's not just the memorials, but different things etched in stone. Words like this: this country cannot afford to be materially rich and spiritually poor. Or words like, we are here by an almighty God. I will never forget that one time in one of those trips, as we were reading these things etched in stone, somebody next to me said, I wonder, have I ever said anything worth writing in stone? I wonder if I've done anything or said anything worth writing in stone. Well, let me remind you today, we're not called to write things in stone, but on flesh and blood. And how good it is when we live for the Lord, it makes a difference in all those around us. Our actions will speak so loud and cause others to know Him. And it will make a tremendous difference in the lives of many. Many of you heard about the starfish and the guy walking on the beach and how he was picking up the starfish and throwing those starfish back in just one by one. There were thousands and thousands of starfish, and the guy came and said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to save starfish. I'm just throwing them back in. And the guy says, there's thousands, maybe millions. You're not going to make a difference. And remember what the guy said as he picked up that starfish. He says, it made a difference to that one, and it made a difference to that one. And a difference to that one. Can I encourage you this week, focus on one person to make a difference in. Live a life that honors God. Do what God's called you to do, and you will influence not just them, but possibly the whole world, because God is able to raise people up to do mighty things. Somebody wrote, a life well lived can change the world by making impact on boy or girl. A life well lived can stir others to do the things that are right, to live for the Lord both day and night. Will that life of truth be lived by you a life of love and faith that goes through and through. God's called us to lay down a memorial, to live a life that honors Him, not with stones, but on the fleshly tablets of the heart that makes a difference to all those that come in contact with us. The question is, will we? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. Just to think about yourself just for a second. A true memorial starts with an act of God, trusting in Him. The children of Israel would never lay down those memorials, those stones, unless they had trusted the Lord. And your life will not make a difference either unless you first trust Him. If you're here this morning and never said yes to the Lord, why not today? You can do it right where you sit at, and you should. But why not make it public? Why not lay that first stone down right here in church by walking forward and say, Brother Paul, I've said yes to Jesus. What next? Honor Him. The Bible clearly says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Let that be your life today. If you are saved today, make a commitment. I will live for the Lord. I will live for Him in such a way that others may notice Him in my life, that my good works will shine, that they may honor my Father above. Commit today to living a life of testimony, overcoming those burdens and those barriers, no matter what they are, shining bright for the cause of Christ. Thirdly, it may be here today and you need a church home. Why not let this be your church home and just serve Him? We'll take you just as you are. Maybe you want to pray this altar for somebody that you know is in need. Maybe it's for yourself or others. Whatever it is, lay a marker down today saying, I have obeyed the Lord and I'm willing to continue. Lay the marker down and see what God does. Father, we love You. We thank You for all these things. Move us mightily to be faithful to You. Help us now in the time of invitation. Let us fully commit. Help us to be that mark You've called us to be. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.